Caddo Parish Commission meeting today on the agenda, the sale of the revenue bonds for the new park. And John Commissioner John Adkins on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. On the agenda, the revenue bond sale for the new park, the Pickleball Park. How do you expect that vote to go today to actually sell these bonds?
Well, you know, we've already gone through the bulk of this session on the commission, and we have generally expressed support for the project, so I expect it to be approved in today's meeting.
I'm curious about the planning and the drawings for the proposed park. Of that prior to these bonds being sold? What's kind of put the cart before the horse for me here?
Well, you know, at this point, we're just putting the works in place to actually raise the bonds to execute the sale. We're not spending any money. We're not committing to spending any money. So these bonds will be sold. The proceeds from the $10 million bond will effectively be put in the bank accounts of the parish and held there until the final plans can be developed and all the details can be worked through, and then the money will be spent over time. You know, it's not this, the money is being raised for any public capital project. So these aren't being raised specifically. I mean, we're targeting the pickleball park for this capital raise, but you know, we're not, this money is not exclusively committed to any one project. It could be used for any public facility.
So it's not guaranteed that we're going to get a pickleball park yet?
It's not guaranteed. I mean, we're still working through all those details. We want to make sure that we get all that right before we start spending money. Now, there'll be a little money spent. You know, some of this money will be spent on the front end to pay architects and advisors on construction. You know, to do the work needed to ensure that the work is done appropriately and as is desired by the administration.
But that doesn't mean this money can be used to repair roads or
that's correct.
Something like that.
Well, you know, this each aspect of the commission has its own budgets and its own funds. So this money is not going into either of those specific funds. It's not going into the Public Works Fund, or it's not going into the Juvenile Services Fund. It'll be held on the side for a capital project. Now, that being said, if the pickleball park doesn't materialize, I'm sure that there's a way to reallocate those funds to another capital project, but I'm not sure exactly how those details would work.
The state law says any government entity may issue revenue bonds to, quote, construct, acquire, extend, or improve any system or work of public improvement. It goes on to talk about that there has to be some revenue attached to that. So fixing a road, there's no revenue attached to that unless you make it a toll road or something like that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But
and we have no plans for toll roads by the parish at the moment.
Not by the parish, certainly not. I mean, there is a toll bridge being considered by a third party, but it wouldn't be a parish bridge.
Are you convinced, as we talk today, Caddo Commissioner John Adkins, that the pickleball project, if we move forward with it and we get the 19 courts like we've proposed in Southeast Shreveport near the Y, that it will bring in enough revenue to pay off these bonds?
Well, I've looked at the projections, and the projections indicate that at a 40% utilization during regular playing hours, that the revenue from the project and associated sales from the facility would pay off the principal and interest on an annual basis. I've also stress test those assumptions, and if utilization were to be as low as 20%, then we would fall a couple $100,000 a year on meeting our debt and principal obligations and operating costs.
But if we fall short, where does that money come from then?
Well, it could come from any number of sources. First of all, the parish has over $200 million in reserve. Second of all, we have non-tax revenue associated with oil and gas income, which, you know, ranges from year to year, but it's been as low as a couple million dollars a year over my tenure and as high as over $5 million a year during my tenure. And those monies are discretionary. They can be spent in a discretionary way. Oftentimes they're spent currently on NGO type projects. So in a worst case scenario, that 20 station scenario, there's more than enough money in the oil and gas, annual oil and gas revenues to absorb that shortfall.
But does that revenue include money? You say that's a daily usage projection. What about the tournaments that will be coming in? Does that include those tournament and the income from that?
Are you talking about the direct income into the pickleball park, or are you talking about the associated income that would occur at restaurants and hotels and things of that nature?
Well, no, that's an ancillary benefit. I'm talking about the direct income from those tournaments. Does that revenue generated include that?
Yeah, the numbers that I did were just assuming a flat 40% utilization, it all average out, but it's a flat 40% utilization over the course of a year, not incorporating any variance for overutilization during tournaments and things like that. I mean, those tournaments will occur several times a year, but over the course of a year, I assumed it would all average out to that 40% utilization. That's what the parish assumed. And then I double stress test it to 20% utilization without any variance for tournaments.
Well, let me ask you one more thing, because there are a lot of people that have talked about, where did we get this $10 million price tag? We really are not completely certain what this is going to cost for 19 courts. I mean, it could come in far under that. It could come in a little over that. That's the thing. Once we get to the design stage, we'll try to figure out what it really will cost, right?
That's right, Aaron. You know, think about it. Whenever, you know, if you're going to build a house, you've got to hire an architect and hire a builder, and there's certain front-end costs that go into planning for that project. So these bonds are being, this bond money is being raised to help, you know, so we'll have some money available on the front end to properly design the project and properly plan for the project, because your costs begin before the actual construction phase begins. You know, you've got a lot of planning costs before the actual construction phase begins. But I've continued to say that $10 million feels like an awfully large number to me for the project that's being undertaken, and I've encouraged our administration to, you know, look at value engineering opportunities to push the cost of the project down. So the $10 million is that's not a budgetary number. I mean, that number has a lot of fluff in it, and I continue to encourage the parish to drive to push that number down.
So the vote today on whether or not to sell the bonds, say that passes, how long before the money's in the bank and we take the next step? And what is the next step?
Well, I don't know the details on how long it actually takes to market the bonds and get the money in the bank, but I'm going to guess 3 months, you know, 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the next steps, as I mentioned earlier, are to hire an architect and planners to really scrutinize the rough architectural plans we have and to really work through those numbers and look at ways to optimize that design to get the most bang for our buck moving forward.
Caddo Commissioner John Atkins, thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, streaming worldwide with the Keel app. 101.7 FM.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, so a follow-up on that interview with Commissioner Atkins was from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They had the vote yesterday,
yep.
And it went very well.
11-1, it passed. Going to sell the bonds. And they actually, because of their bond rating, they're not going to have to borrow as much. They're not going to have to borrow $10 million. I think they're going to borrow $9.6 million, something like that. And that's worth a side note, Mike, because Caddo Parish has been a triple-A bond-rated governmental entity, the highest you can get. They recently were downgraded to AA+, AA+.
Okay.
But the only reason they were downgraded had nothing to do with their financial condition. It had to do with your demographics. Once a community reaches a number below a certain X number, then you can't be rated AAA. And so it had to do with our demographics of people leaving our area.
Interesting.
But I believe Caddo Parish is the highest, I'm going to check today, is the highest bond-rated governmental entity in the state of Louisiana. And that's something to be proud of. It really is.
And you watched the meeting, right?
I watched it in segments because okay. I know some of the parts I don't need to watch. But
sure.
I watched the part where they were doing the pickleball.
Resolutions mm-hmm. or whatever
yes,
that they do.
Yeah, all the mumbo jumbo. Yeah, they do some mumbo. There was quite a moment when Stormy Gage Watts, the president, gave a speech in her comments talking about her 11 years on the commission, and she was leaving the chairman's seat after this meeting because they elected new officers. And she talked about how it's been a wonderful, because you know she's running for mayor,
right?
And
right.
So she's got one more year left, and she teared up, and it was, and she said, "I didn't mean." It was so funny because she goes, "I didn't mean to cry. I'm going to mess up my eyelashes." And I thought that was pretty funny. It was pretty, you know. She works hard. There's no doubt. So it was good to see that, and they all gave her kudos and all that. So it was nice.
So what's next now?
This is the good thing. John Atkins sent me a text yesterday and said, since they've been working on this bond proposal since November, we could have the money in-house by the end of this month. In a month,
wow.
We could have the money.
Okay.
That means we can start hiring the architect, we can start the design work, and construction could actually start this year with completion next year. I mean,
nice.
This could be on fast track. We could have, you know, we could have the Walter B. Jacobs opening this month, and about a year later or a little bit later, we could have a pickleball complex opening. I mean, that's huge progress.
And I hope people will see. I don't think a lot of people understand the ginormity of this project.
Yes.
As far as the impact that it will have on our area.
And Mike and I watch a lot of college football bowl games, and I watch them take those kids to different activities in their community. And you see them swimming with dolphins in Orlando, and you see them, you know, driving race cars, and you see them do. And I'm like, well, what? God, the Independence Bowl. What do they do with them? And I know they take them to the golf place. But think about, you'll be able to take them now to Walter B. Jacobs. They can experience that kind of a huge park. They'll be able to take them out to this pickleball complex and play. I mean, everything we can do like that grows our community. Those young kids will remember, hey, that was so cool when I walked through that lightning tree. And I would love my kids to see that one day. And I'll bring them back to see that. So, I mean, it's just things like that really develop our community and build people's memories.
So it was 11-1?
11-1. Chris Crackman was the only lone vote. He's been against it from jump. You know, you got to give him credit. He's not going to, you know, jump over now and go, okay, since y'all all are for it, I'll be for it. He said, no,
okay.
Not doing it. I think there were three against it in the beginning. I may be wrong on that number, but I think there were three votes against it. But Crackman was one of those three, and he stuck to his principles, said he didn't support it then, and he still doesn't support it. So we'll
talk with John Paul Young later this morning,
mm-hmm.
I think in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yes.
A follow-up on that as well. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
I don't know if it's recovering from the holidays, but I, I've been hitting the hay a little earlier this week.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so last night with the Verbo Bowl or something?
Yeah.
Ole Miss in Miami. What a game.
Incredible.
But during halftime, and then I got started the third quarter, but I was just wiped.
Yeah.
So and at that point, it looked to me like Miami was just dominant.
They were.
They were dominant on both sides of the line. The defense was just oppressive. They were running over Ole Miss. I was really pulling for the SEC. But Aaron, it looked like Ole Miss came back and made it a game.
They definitely made it a game.
I hate I missed the second half.
And I really, you know, I feel for my buddy Ben Mintz. Mincy is an Ole Miss, I mean, through and through.
He's, okay.
You know, big time guy with, what is it? What's the sports company he works for out of New York?
I have no idea.
And he goes to all the Ole Miss events. And he was there, and God bless him. He was posting on Instagram, and he was excited as they were coming back. And then at the end, you see his poor little face, his hottie-totty.
How were you watching him?
Well, I was looking at him on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I felt so bad for him because he's a huge fan, and he was hoping that he'd be going to, you know, to Miami for the championship game. No, yeah, that's where it's going to be. How cool is that? You're going to have your championship game in your hometown.
Home, so. Right? Yes.
I don't think Miami can handle Indiana's offense, though. I just don't think. I'd be shocked. Now Indiana's got to win tonight. They got to beat Oregon. So.
Is that tonight or tomorrow
it's
night?
Tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't watch the game like you. My sleep was all screwed up, so I actually woke up at 1:30 this morning and finished watching the game.
No. Oh, my
gosh.
And
then piddled around because I hadn't seen the end. I'd fallen asleep. And so I watched the end of the game, and then I piddled around, did some stuff from work, and I just couldn't go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So I've been up and going since 1:30, so I might crash on you here later.
You think?
Maybe so, yeah.
You want an energy drink?
I'm finna eat my yogurt here in a minute. Chopping up my blackberries in it now, and I'm gonna down my tea, and hopefully that'll give me a little energy. But I did have a good nap. I had a good long nap. So
we got Bill McCollum coming in just after 7. He's with Wingo Wealth.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna talk about the bond rating for the city of Shreveport and what the downgrade means. Also going to talk about the good news for the bond rating for the Caddo School Board and the Caddo Commission, how their bond rating really helps and saves us tax dollars. So got good news and kind of bad news.
All right. That's in about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Every year, growing up, there were 6 cousins, original first cousins for me, 3 stair-step boys that grew up between Minden and Homer out in the country.
Okay.
They, horses, and we used to go to Shodios, and as a kid, spending summers out there at their... was awesome.
In the country, yeah.
Growing up and riding horses and just had a great time. And then another cousin that lived in Bossier, and then my sister and me. So there were 6 of us.
Right.
And a lot of times, the only time we got together was Christmas Eve at my grandmother's in Shady Grove. But over the years, we've all gotten real close. And we do stuff. We try to get together.
Oh, cool!
Throughout the year, and we'll go just have dinner over in Minden, or they'll come into town, and we'll all go and get together. And it's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, I really do. I love it. And so, I don't know. Recently, we had they've got a deer camp again out in the country, kind of between Minden and Homer out there, and. We would go out there and just there's a great big one of those big metal fire pits. I mean, big, almost as big as this table.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we'd sit around the fire and everybody'd bring something and just hang out. And my cousin drove up in this beautiful Toyota Tacoma.
Oh, nice.
Brand new.
Wow. Okay.
New, nice.
Showroom said, floor type.
I said, dude, that's awesome. Yeah. TT got it for me, his wife. Because his was a work truck. He does carpentry work and stuff like that.
Okay.
And Erin, she has worked for Fiberbond.
Oh, I know where you're going now. Yeah. Cha-ching.
For like 15, 16 years.
Wow.
And, well, as you probably know, the company recently sold. Mm-hmm. It was locally owned, a Minden family.
Yep.
The Walker family sold Fiberbond.
Mm-hmm.
Multi-millions.
Yep.
Graham Walker said, I'm going to share this with my employees.
Mm-hmm.
And his 540 full-time employees began receiving the $240 million in bonuses. The average bonus was $443,000. That's the average.
Repeat that again. The average bonus.
The average bonus that these employees received, $443,000.
Mm.
Now, this is to be paid over 5 years.
Right.
Erin, that's life-changing.
Oh, absolutely.
And what company does this?
Not too many anymore.
Well, TT had retired just recently before this.
Oh, no.
And she'd been there for like 15, 16 years. So she thought, well.
She's out of luck.
They said to be eligible for the bonuses, they were trying to retain employees. You know, you had to commit for another 5 years. And she thought, I'm 67. I don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to. They called her in and gave her her bonus.
Wow.
If you were over, I think, 64.
You were still eligible.
Erin, what a family.
No kidding.
What a family.
Well, I know Graham Walker well, and good guy. Really good guy.
I'd like to say hi and just shake his hand. Yeah. I'm not even an employee.
It was quite the amazing story, and it got some worldwide attention.
Yes.
At Christmas time when they handed those out, it was like this was a big deal. And so definitely hats off to that company. That's
we hadn't talked about it, and I just and I guess I didn't even realize. My family, indirectly related to me, my cousin
got a piece of it.
That's awesome. $250,000.
Yeah. Wow.
That's just so.
That's incredible.
I just wanted to, the Walker's band, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big company for that area. I mean, that's
job. Largest employer in that whole parish.
It's huge. And it is, and Graham's been active in, you know, Shreveport government and politics and helping make our community a better place. He doesn't just, you know, run his business and that's what he does. No, he gets involved with the Committee of 100 and does all kind of other stuff. Lots of charitable donations. I couldn't even begin to tell you how much money this man's donated. But, it's a big deal.
I just had to share that because I thought, wow. They had a story in the Wall Street Journal about this.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
And TT's picture's in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. She immigrated from Vietnam many years ago.
I just think it's funny you have a cousin named TT.
And
there goes my third grader.
Oh, my gosh.
You got another one named? No, I'm not going to say it.
Bill. Stop it. I'm the one that's supposed to be 12 years old in this room.
I know.
Bill McCollum with Wingo Wealth in about 20 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Key.
Helps if I turn my mic on. All right, how goes the hat? The hat drive.
Who knew it was going to be this big?
This is so incredible. You never know. This is so incredible.
It is crazy. I told you I shaved my head for Operation Santa Claus, raised over $25,000.
Right.
And I told y'all 5 years ago that I was never going to do that again because it was cold. I'm not vain about the hair. I'm fine with that because I got a beautiful looking bald head. But
she's not vain about it, Ruben.
But it's cold. Hush up down there. But it's cold. It's really cold.
Right, yes.
And so our crack sales staff said, we could do a promotion and make sure you have hats promoting local businesses the whole time you're bald-headed to keep your head warm.
And it started with Ruben.
Yes, Ruben.
Oh, Possum, where art thou? And you're wearing that today.
Yes, and Monday we have my buddies at AirPro starting. We have several others that are lining up. We're going to probably run out of spots. And what is going to happen, if you've got a business, now I'm not going to do it just for any business. I'm going to do it for businesses that I believe in. I mean, I'm not going to do it for, mm-hmm. What is it, the bond company that, bail bond company that has a bad name on there. I'm not wearing your hat, sorry.
That's not
going to happen. Yeah. It's businesses that I believe in. Yeah, and it's going to cost your business a little bit of money. But here's the deal. I looked and did the math. This is the cheapest ad package we sell, I think, on this radio station. You're going to get me talking about your business for a full week. Every morning, you're going to get me wearing your hat for a full week everywhere I go. I'll even take a picture with the owner of your company with me wearing your hat. You're going to get a takeover of our website. I mean, you're going to get all kind of spiff with this. Just because the sales team said we want to make sure your head's warm and take care of you, and we can team up with some local businesses that you love. And I got texts yesterday from people going, how do we get involved? How do we get our business on the list? And so we're starting next week. I'll have my AirPro hat on all week. I went by and met the owner. I've known the owner for a long time.
Right.
And we took a picture together, and we're excited about
getting it. And it doesn't have to be a ball cap. It can be a knit cap. It can be...
With the cold weather coming, knit caps are good.
Or something with the logo on it.
Whatever your company logo hat is, I'll wear it. Now, again, I'm going to preface it by saying it needs to be a business that I support. So, and that I care about and that I love and that I think it does good things in the community. So that's the only restriction for me. When the sales team sends me the thing down here, I'll go, that's not quite for me. But I'm open to any business interested because we're going to sell this out.
Okay.
So it's going to be fun. And I'll keep my head warm. That's the goal.
I'm not going to say. Coming up after the news, top of the hour, we're going to talk bond ratings, mm-hmm. Caddo Parish and city bond ratings, mm-hmm. and the effect of what a better bond rating does or what a worse bond rating.
Bill McCollum's here, and he's going to break it down into English that we can understand.
That's going to be a challenge when you're talking to me.
It is. It's for me, too. And it's one of those things. It matters, though, because it costs big money
right.
if your community has a lower bond rating.
So I'm going to be like Michael Scott, and I'm going to tell Bill, look, explain this to me like I'm 10 years old.
Great idea.
And get me to understand it. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty. FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty in studio with Bill McCollum. He's with Wingo Wealth. Bill, good morning. Thanks for jumping in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, introduce yourself just a little bit. Let folks know who you are and what you do and with Wingo Wealth.
Well, you gave me a pretty good introduction already. I joined Wingo Wealth about a year and a half ago. I've been doing financial advisory work, 25 years now,
mm-hmm.
and coming together with John has been a great marriage. John has traditionally been a planner, and that has been his focus. My focus has been on investment management. So when you bring those two disciplines together, it is a very powerful complementary combination.
And you're here to talk about bond ratings.
Yes, and we have great news and we have bad news. And we're going to start with the bad news and get it out of the way first. The Shreveport bond rating has been downgraded by both Moody's and S&P. Is that correct?
Well, Shreveport bonds were downgraded by Moody's, and I want to focus on that because that's where it really sparked this whole conversation back in November. So Moody's is a rating agency. They rate municipalities and corporations, and then they provide their ratings to help investors understand credit risk. The downgrade in November was tough. I mean, it was a gut punch. Now, I pay attention to these things because I'm in the industry. I'm an investor. And I take into account these credit ratings when I'm making decisions on what to buy for my clients.
Right.
Because the credit rating helps me. I don't have the time to do a full credit analysis of a municipality, nor do I have that expertise necessarily. So the ratings is like shorthand. It's a shortcut to help me make those decisions. Not just the rating level itself, which is low, and it's borderline non-investment grade.
Here's what I want to say. Wow. The Moody's rating is downgraded for Shreveport from BAA3.
Correct.
And that is, people need to hear this loud and clear. That is one step above a junk bond. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. You know, it's not going to make a lot of sense to most people who don't follow and track these things, but psychologically, you know, when you go into junk bond level, there's just a negative connotation that comes with that.
And it costs the city money, right?
And it costs more. And there are institutional investors who will not invest in bonds that are not investment grade.
How did we get to that, low rating? What caused that? And how do we fix it?
Gosh, that is a great question. This is not something that happened overnight. And I want to make that perfectly clear. This is not an indictment of the current administration. No, not at all. This is something that's been decades in the making.
Okay.
And this is not something that's unique to Shreveport. This is a nationwide problem. And I'm going to jump on my soapbox here. This is years of neglect, kicking the can down the road. In terms of deferred maintenance, not reserving money for the future, and wasteful spending. This has been something that has been ballooning for many, many years. And now we're at the point where we have to pay the piper.
And that, can I make it as simple as I can? Let's say you have a leak in your roof and you got a little leak coming in your kitchen and you ignore it and you ignore it and you ignore it. All of a sudden, your whole house inside, you need it all redone because it's all wet and soaked up there. And so you need way more money spent on your house than you would have if you would have fixed that little leak in the beginning.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's a great analogy. I want to also point to some of the language in the Moody's analysis, because the rating itself is one thing. And you also have to question the objectivity of the rating. Is the rating an accurate reflection of the actual financial condition of the city? I don't know. You know, it could be some 27-year-old doing an analysis who really doesn't understand our financial wherewithal. I don't know that.
What do they cite in their report as our problems?
Well, there are some bullet points that really stuck out to me. Things such as narrowing financial flexibility, low operating reserves, the 2014 federal consent decree for the sewer system repairs, and that mandates $342 million in expenditures over 12 years. There's also language specific to water and sewage, unclear plans for rate increases to offset growing operational expenses and extensive capital needs.
Mm. We know that's the
boy,
truth.
No kidding.
It doesn't sound good. And then you have to look at this from the perspective of all the parties. Well, there's the investors, which, you know, if I'm an investor and I own the bond, and the bond gets downgraded, well, I expect that on my next statement, the price of that bond will be lower.
Okay.
Right? Then there's the perspective of the issuer, the city. These downgrades, while they don't affect existing bonds, they will affect future bonds. We have to borrow. It's most people in America cannot pay cash for a car, much less pay cash for a house. So when the city has large capital expenditures, it has to borrow money.
How much does that cost? Let's say we borrow $10 million. If our bond rating is Baa3, right above junk status, what does that cost as opposed to if we were a AA-rated community?
Well, now you're getting into the weeds a little bit.
I know. Is it millions? Is it hundreds of thousands? I mean, give us kind of a ballpark.
Well, the biggest cost is going to be the principal amount that's being borrowed.
Okay.
And so that's going to be a function of how much money the city needs to cover these capital expenditures and fill budgetary gaps. But with the borrowing, there are costs related to that bond issue. People have to get paid for their work. So
before we go deeper into the weeds on this, let me go back to my question about how did we get there? You answered that. So what do we do to fix it? Obviously, this didn't happen overnight, so the fix is not going to be coming tomorrow.
No, the fix doesn't come tomorrow. I think for starters, we as citizens have a responsibility to elect people who have the capacity, the wherewithal, the qualifications to manage these big issues. We're in an election year. We want people in these seats, the mayor, city council, et cetera, who are qualified to handle these big issues.
Who know it might not be a good idea to give an across-the-board 13% pay increase.
I'll let you tackle that.
As you know, in 2026, elections are nothing more than popularity contests. That's all it is.
That's been the case, Mike. But I think going forward, though, it's not going to be the case.
Well, I hope that you're right.
Because we have to address these problems. As I said, we can no longer kick the can down the road. The infrastructure is crumbling under our feet, literally. So how do we address these problems? And it starts with putting people in office who can handle this responsibility. The other thing that we as citizens have to expect is that services will be cut. That's just a reality. We cannot expect to get the same level of services because we don't have the budget.
And rates will go up. Expect your water and sewer rates to go up. They cannot do it with the money they're getting now.
Now, I'll throw a third point in here, and this is me on a soapbox. I would like to see how the city can utilize the private sector, right? We know that the city is budget constrained. We know that we have shortages of staff. What can the private sector do to help? This is our city. We live here. Give us an opportunity to step in and do things.
Right.
It could be something as simple as picking up trash. What can we do as citizens?
Yeah. That was the bad news. We got good news when we come back for a couple of entities.
Bill McCollum with Wingo Wealth in the studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Bill McCollum, financial advisor with Wingo Wealth in studio with Mike and McCarty. Now that you've thoroughly depressed me with all the bad news.
I'm not done.
But we got good news.
But we do have some good news. But are you saying you still have more bad news you want to share?
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then let's talk about some good news.
Well, let's start with the Caddo Parish Commission. They have been a AAA bond rated entity for a long, long time. They were recently downgraded to AA+. But I'm told that had nothing to do with their financial condition. It had to do with the demographics of the city, that cities below a certain population can no longer be rated AAA. So Caddo Parish is one of the best rated governmental entities in the state, we're told, if not the best.
I concur. Caddo Parish is managed very strongly. And I'm just going to read some of the language from an S&P ratings report. Now, S&P is another bond rating agency. Strong stewardship, continued commitment to responsible public service, strong reserves, conservative budgeting practices, and minimal debt load.
Yep.
Now, that sounds like someone who's running their house very well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you've got even good news. We got more good news this week for the Caddo School Board. Tell us how they're doing.
Yeah, so Caddo Schools got a ratings upgrade. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
From A-plus to AA-minus by S&P. And I noted disciplined governance, strong reserves, sound financial oversight by the school board.
Wow.
Wow. That's great news.
That is great news. And that saves us money. When we boil it down and we have to go out for a revenue bond or any kind of bond, like the $10 million pickable. In fact, Grant Schluter, the bond attorney, said you're not going to have to borrow $10 million now because your bond rating is so good, you're going to only have to borrow $9.6 million. So, I mean, we're already saving $400,000, right?
It does. And I want to, that is good news. And I want to circle back to the city.
Okay.
Well, you're saving more than $400,000.
Oh, yeah, that's off the jump. Yeah.
That's just, you're not having to borrow as much, but then you're not paying as much back in interest, et cetera.
Yes.
Now, to circle back to the city, I believe, and I don't want to be political, I believe that the current administration is doing admirable work of addressing these problems. Okay. This administration didn't cause these problems, but they are taking it very seriously. There was a refinancing of debt that was done recently. That was done to save us money over time. I think the number was $8 million. That's a good step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
The federal consent decree is something that the administration is negotiating with the federal government, which has to be done. And I believe that Mayor Arsenault is being very judicious with the budget. I can't speak to the other related entities. I don't know. But I do applaud the city for what they're doing now.
Typically, how long, and we're talking with Bill McCollum with Wingo Wealth, typically how long does it take a community to get out from under a bad rating? I mean, is it a 4-year deal? Is it a 20-year deal?
No, this is going to take a long time.
Is it?
Oh, yes. Because in the meantime, we still have large capital expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just drive around town.
Yeah.
It's all around us.
And fewer people paying into the tax base as we see our population numbers continue to dwindle.
Well, that's true. And I brought it's called the official statement. This is for the most recent bond issue that the city did, the refunding, revenue refunding bonds for water and sewage. And this has all of the information you would possibly want when trying to understand the financial condition of the city.
Mm-hmm.
This is public information. But I would say this, who reads this?
I will. You leave that with me and I promise to read it.
I mean, I read this stuff, but I've been accused of being very analytical.
Wonky.
But that's what I do for a living.
Analytical.
But as I go through this, I mean, there's a lot of information here about the financial condition, and there are things that we need to pay attention to. For example, I think this is fascinating. The city of Shreveport occupies 108 square miles.
Jeez. We just talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
It's
sprawl.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The sprawl, that works out to about 1,400 people per square mile. By comparison, New York City is 28,000 people per square mile. D.C. is 11,000 people per square mile. That's a lot of real estate that we have to maintain with very few people. And our population is declining. That is a fact.
Mm.
Water and sewage, I know we're kind of coming up on time here, but I want to mention this too. Water and sewage, and this comes from the bond disclosure. 1,100 miles of piping.
Golly.
1,000 miles of collection sewers. All of this has to be maintained.
Yes. And the problem is we've let it get a leak, And now the pipes are blowing up all over town.
That's correct.
And it's becoming a bigger problem. Oh, Bill, this is, we could go an hour on this.
Yeah,
will
we
you
could.
Come back one day?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for coming. Can you leave all this good
yes.
stuff? I love reading stuff. I'm the wonkiest of the wonkers.
I'll challenge you on that.
Okay, I got you.
It's not James Patterson, but she'll take it up, right?
Tell Wingo I want a hat. I want him to be one of my hat covers. Please.
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Bill, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You as well.
Mardi Gras and the Arklatecs. We're going to talk with Carlene Mudd, crew of Centaur, coming up in about 10 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
It's Mardi Gras time in the Arklatecs. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Look at that. Like I knew what I was doing.
Kind of sucked, but that's all right.
Okay, thank you. Carlene Mudd with the crew of Centaur going to join us right after the break. Big exciting news with the ball coming up.
Yeah, some secret info she's going to give us.
I hope so.
Yeah.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Carlene Mudd with the crew of Centaur. You need to be real close to that mic. Is in studio with us. It's Mardi Gras and the Arklatecs. Tell us your position with the crew of Centaur.
I am the queen of Centaur this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Queen 34.
I'm sorry, the queen. You didn't have all your regalia on. A lot
it's
of times they
car.
Come in with all the regalia.
We got a sign for you. It said back there, it says the queen reigns here.
There you go.
That's right. Chica said, the queen. I forgot. And I said, no, Aaron's the queen. God, it's Aaron's world. We're all just living in it.
The ball is coming up the 24th.
Right.
It's at the convention center. This is a big hoedown.
Oh, my goodness.
Hoodoo.
Yes. Doors open at 5. Tableau is at 7.
Mm-hmm.
We have open bar. We've got music. We've got some huge surprises for y'all this year.
Can you give us a sneak?
Yeah,
okay.
Tell us what.
They did not tell me what the surprise was, and I'm the queen. I've been asking.
They didn't want you to spill the beans.
No, they wouldn't.
So it could be the queen goes naked this year, and you don't even know.
You don't want to see that.
Now, there's a lot of people that think that if I'm not associated with the crew and I'm not on your staff or whatever, that I can't go to that. Anybody.
Anybody is welcome to go. It's open to the public. You do not have to be a member of the crew. Matter of fact, we would love for you to come and see what we're all about. It is a party like nothing you've ever seen.
And you want to get your tickets ahead of time.
Ahead of time. Go to crewofcentaur.org and click on the link to buy tickets and come. And you can bring your kids.
Mm.
I mean, it is like, I can't even tell you. There's no way to describe how fantastic the ball is. It's a lot of fun.
Who's the Grand Marshal this year?
Robert Parrish.
Oh, that's right.
He's a centenary grad, just like me.
He is. I would venture to say if I were to rank the biggest parties in our area where you dress up, you're in a tux, the ladies are in the gowns. I would venture to say that the crew of Centaur's ball is top three, if not number one.
Oh, I would agree. And I know I'm probably biased, but
right.
Yeah, and all the crews, they have great balls. We just bring the house down.
Y'all throw a magnificent party. It's been since I've been, but it really is a huge deal. And you can come by yourself. You can come with a group. It doesn't
matter. Bring a girlfriend. Get a group of friends together. Get online and order your tickets and just come and have a good time.
Because there's a lot of people that say, I don't have a significant other right now.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of people at the ball like that.
Exactly.
And everybody's willing to get on the dance floor with anybody and have fun.
Just grab somebody and go. Yes.
Okay, well,
children
I have to tell
welcome
you.
Children are welcome, too, right?
Children are welcome.
Wow.
Yes.
I have to tell you, back in October I can't believe this. I was at the post office right there on Pines Road. And let me show you a picture. Look who walked in.
Robert Parrish.
Oh, wow.
I'll be darned.
Like a normal human
being. I'm excited to meet him. I've never met him.
He's a super nice guy.
That's what I've heard.
Super, super nice guy.
I am really looking forward to
Boston
that.
Boston Celtics
and
legend.
And somebody, a local, you know? Yes. I love that.
Now, the tickets again. How do I get a hold of these tickets for the ball?
Okay, go to crewofcentaur.org and click on events, and you'll see.
Get the
grand ball.
If you want to buy them at the door, if say you make a last minute decision, you know I really want to go. You can do that, but it costs more, right?
Right. So okay. You really want to get them ahead of time.
Absolutely. How many people show up for this?
Last year, I think we had 1,900. We have all the bays at the convention center. The whole thing is open.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
And we sell out, so you don't want to wait. Get online and get those tickets.
Absolutely. Yeah. And your gown, you're going to be wearing the queen regalia and all that good stuff.
So the thing about ball is we meet and greet with you, the royalty does, from 5 to 6. Then we go backstage and you don't see us until tableau starts.
Ooh.
And that's the big production. That's all the hoopla and the pyrotechnic stuff. And yeah.
Oh, man.
And that's when we change into our costumes.
And y'all have some big sponsors this year that I hear are really, the surprises are supposed to be off the chain.
I know. And they won't tell us. I want it so bad to know. And they keep, no.
Oh, my
gosh. So, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to the surprise. So,
How long have you been involved with the crew?
This is my 9th year.
Wow.
I was a Duchess in 2020. And then I was a royal repeat because we had COVID. So we did not have a new royal court in 21. So,
Tell us how you get to be queen. What do you have to do? Does it cost you money? Do you have to kiss a lot of booties?
It's just, you just throw your name in the hat and you get elected.
And so they so voted on you.
And so they vote.
Then.
There's
okay.
a vote. Yeah.
That's cool. That is really cool.
You know, and the best part about being queen for me is I love all the visitations. Once the ball happens, going to the nursing homes, the veterans homes, the schools. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. That's
how do you put it in your schedule? I mean, you stay busy, I guess.
You do. And tonight is we're kicking off balls. Tonight is one of the first balls with one of the crews. So,
And you go to all the balls?
All the balls every Friday and Saturday from now until parade on February 7th.
Wow.
So you go to all of them, not just the crew of Centauri.
Right.
You go to Gemini and all everything else.
Go and
else.
Support. I go support my queen sisters and the other crews. Yeah.
Okay. Now, girl question here. Okay. Do you wear the same queen gown regalia, or do you have a different gown for each of these balls?
Oh, no, different gown.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't want to be seen in the same gown.
I was going to say.
Oh, my gosh.
Too many pictures, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
A different gown. Same thing at coronation back in the early fall.
So what's your GoFundMe account? I would like to help.
No kidding.
Please.
I didn't know teachers were wealthy like that.
Oh, my gosh.
No, this teacher's not. I'm not redoing my bathrooms this year, so I could be queen.
You can buy all the gowns. It is,
but it's worth it.
People don't realize it's a big expense to be one of the royals.
It really is.
So most people obviously will attend the parade.
Right.
February 7th.
Right.
It's underway at 3 o'clock. How many floats? Tell us a little bit about the parade.
I think we have 37 rolling this year.
Wow.
And all the floats are made by our crew members. We don't bring people in. We start from the ground up, and we construct them, come up with the ideas, and...
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Carlene Mudd, we go back a way long time.
Yeah, our boys.
Soccer moms together.
Yes.
She knows a little bit about me that she's never going to repeat, so we're going to keep that as a secret, too.
Talk about surprises. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you guys,
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Coming up after the news, top of the hour, Caddo Parish Commissioner John Paul Young going to talk about the Pickleball Park vote with Mike and McCarty.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I've been to several Mardi Gras parades.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, I've never ridden on a float.
Are you serious?
I've never ridden on a float and thrown thrown beads and stuff.
Wow.
I think that would be fun.
Oh, it has been a blast.
You've done it.
I have. I did it for a few years, and I was on the Rose Float, the infamous Rose Float in Centaur, which is the float that is the last float of the parade, typically. It's the best float in the parade, in my view. Tina Rose does not cut corners on anything. So if you can get on, if you can ever get on the Rose Float, man, okay. It's awesome. Always had the best time.
We'll call Tina.
I can hook
put
you
in,
up.
Put in a good word for me.
As soon as she has a spot, you got the cash, well, she'll help you.
Therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
Because they buy their own throws and stuff, don't they?
Oh, yeah. That comes with your...
People that do that.
Now, if you're a crew member, you get the basic bead package. That comes with your membership. But the basic bead package is not going to be all the special beads and all that cool stuff that you can throw.
It doesn't include moon pies and hot dogs.
Teddy bears. No, yeah. None of that stuff. And
or frisbees.
Yeah, so you have to buy the extras. And look, Tina and her crew, they go to Mardi Gras World in New Orleans. They go to all kind of different places, and they buy some. I mean, that float throws some really good stuff. Really good stuff.
I thought I was about to hit the button.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, the whole crew of Gemini, I mean, crew of Centaur, Gemini too, they go all out. Right. They go all out. These are big parades.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people come here instead of New Orleans now because they're worried about crime in New Orleans. So they're like, I want to experience Mardi Gras, but I don't want to go to New Orleans. Where can I go? Well, if you're not going to Metairie or somewhere down Lafayette or whatever, if you're in this region of the country, we got just as good.
Oh, my gosh.
Just as good. The Centaur Parade, I think, may be bigger than any of the others in New Orleans in terms of floats. But New Orleans, the reason New Orleans parades seem bigger is because they link a bunch of parades together. Crews together follow each other.
During the same parade,
you might have two or three different crews running back to back.
Okay.
It would be like if we had Gemini follow Centaur.
Wow.
You know, and they do that a lot. So that's why they're
in more neighborhoods and things like that, aren't they?
Yes,
they
are.
A little more compact. Mm-hmm. We go down the Parkway.
Yes, we're the Parkway. Our Highland Parade is the only one that deviates.
Yes.
And it's growing and growing and growing.
I know. It's so
becoming
fun.
It's almost outgrowing that neighborhood. It really is. It's getting close. I know. People don't want to hear that.
No.
I know. But it's a cool parade.
Caddo Parish Commission yesterday voted on the bond sale for pickleball. The park. It's not just pickleball.
Right.
I hate to say pickleball park. It's more than just pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk with Commissioner John Paul Young after the news top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. KEEL, Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Parish Commissioner John Paul Young joining us. John Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Thank you for joining us. Yesterday, the commission voted on the sale of revenue bonds to fund the new park, and the vote went very well for park supporters. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
That's right. Well, so we've had several votes to authorize the going out for the bonds, and then this was the final vote to issue the bonds. We got a fantastic interest rate because the parish is in such good financial condition, and the interest rate is actually 3.97%.
Wow.
Which is the best that you can get anywhere in the state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I'm told that the money could be in-house within 30 days. That means we could start hiring the architect, the planners, the designers, and we could actually start construction this year.
Yes, they're planning to start construction this year. The architect has been hired. They've been selected. They're just not getting paid yet.
All right.
And the commissioners and also members of the public are invited to share their ideas for the design. I have several that I hope will help reduce costs without making it a less pleasant park to go to.
Like?
Well, so as you know, the pickleball complex is going to be sited sort of directly behind the large Kroger on Ellerby Road.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my cost-saving ideas is to make an agreement with that Kroger to share their parking lot. They have about 80 spots right next to the site that I've never seen a car parked in.
Okay.
So I think, you know, we could save a lot of money if we come to that kind of agreement on the parking lot.
Now, that's a good idea.
The original or the proposal was for 19 courts because that was the minimum that these large tournaments would require. Are we staying right with that design?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that we're committed to a tournament sized facility because that's a part of the calculation for the revenue that will help pay back the bonds.
Excellent.
There is a strong sentiment among our community that it would be good to have some courts that are indoor and climate controlled area, so they could be used on days when the weather's not perfect, like today. But as you know, we often have imperfect weather here. So I'm going to push for our architects to look into that option really carefully and see if we can get some climate controlled courts so that of them can always be in use. Even in a hailstorm.
And that's interesting because you are planning a big pavilion as part of this. That could possibly be changed a little bit to include some indoor courts in the design phase, right?
I agree. I think, the design is sort of wide open right now. We've only had, a preliminary idea, and the full-fledged design can't be made until, we can pay for it. And we'll be able to pay for it as soon as these bonds are finally issued, which I heard yesterday could be as soon as Wednesday of next week.
Wow. Let's do a little Shakespeare today. Ye of the Caddo Commission, what do ye say to those who don't play pickleball and who think that this is a waste of tax dollars? Start there. It's not tax dollars, right?
So first of all, these are not property tax dollars. These are borrowed dollars. Through our ability to borrow money as a taxing authority. We also have fantastic reserves. We have almost $50 million in our reserve trust fund, which we carefully squirrel away from our oil and gas revenues every year. And that's why the parish can borrow at such a great interest rate without charging the taxpayers a penny more to build something like a new park. And the new park, if you don't like pickleball, you can still go there and walk around. It's going to have a walking track. I believe there's going to be soccer fields associated with it through the YMCA. And also, if people do come and play tournaments at this park, which everybody expects, they're going to be going to our restaurants. They're going to be staying in our hotels. Sports tourism is a great option for improving the tourist capacity of Shreveport because, as you know, we don't have mountains and beaches, but we do have pretty good weather and we have some great parks, and this is going to be maybe our greatest park.
Let me ask you one more question. We got a few more probably, but there's some concern too that the YMCA is going to manage the complex. If I want to play pickleball, I have to go into the Y to pay for my court, correct?
No, I think there's going to be a building on site at the pickleball complex where you can go in and pay to play.
Okay, so I don't have to be a member of the Y. I don't even have to go into the Y to reserve or to pay for my court.
Right.
Okay, cool. So these will be open to the public. You can pay the regular, whatever the fee is going to be. And how's that going to be determined?
I don't know exactly how the fee is going to be determined. I remember a number around $12, and I think that's calculated based on what they expect usage to be and how much money we need to bring in to pay back the bond, which is the borrowed money for construction. I would love to look in detail at ways to discount that for, different types of player, like kids or school trips, that kind of thing, so that more people can learn the game and play and then eventually grow up and be regular rate payers and maybe champion pickleball players.
Caddo Commissioner John Paul Young, when do you think, as I chat with you today, when will be the first day that you and I can get up, meet up over there, and I can whack your booty in pickleball?
Well, I've never played pickleball, so
well, good.
You've got a good chance. I think it's going to be in 2027. But, construction is always slower than you expect if it's a kitchen renovation or a big complex. So You know, you can't hold me to that, but our plan is to have it done in 2027. And okay. So I would say this time in 2028, like, we can play pickleball.
Okay. You get it back over the net, you're going to beat me. Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you heard from, like, tournament directors or any of these organizations on feedback and maybe, you know, kudos and excitement about this?
We got a lot of communication from Pickleball USA and I think maybe the American Pickleball Association when we were in the political negotiations about whether or not to vote in favor of this. Mm-hmm. And they all, you know, unsurprisingly love the idea of having more pickleball courts around. Since then, though, all the national statistics have backed them up. It's becoming more popular every day. And more people are playing it. And pretty much every time I go on a trip to some other place, you know, if you go to a microbrewery or a sandwich shop, there's a pickleball court next door, and it's full of people playing.
Well, yeah. And colleges now have teams, some club teams and some college teams. So it's certainly, even though it's been around since the 60s, it's still a growing sport.
Yeah, I would say it's an exploding sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And that whole area will probably develop around it. Yeah, that whole area not that area hadn't developed, but this will bring in more growth in that area.
Yes, it will. And, you know, they're probably not going to squeeze a lot more hotels in that area, but this is good for any hotel that can serve people who attend the tournaments mm-hmm. is going to thrive based on those people coming into town.
Caddo Parish Commissioner John Paul Young, thank you so much for talking with us. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. Y'all too.
Take care.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Sorry. Oh my gosh, Aaron, Chica came in earlier. There's down in the kitchen, there's king cake, but it's like muffaletta. It is so good.
It's the sweet and the muffaletta?
No. The bread is kind of sweet, but it's like a muffaletta roll.
Oh man.
Oh my gosh, but it's shaped like a huge king cake.
Yeah.
And then there's another one, it's boudin.
Wow. That's incredible. That is incredible. I need to ask y'all a question. You do cats. Ruben, you do cats too, right?
Sure, yeah.
I'm not a cat person, and please don't send haterade messages. I just don't like cats. I never have. This morning, I'm in the bathroom, you know, piddling around, getting ready to get dressed, and I'm literally sitting on the toilet, and all of a sudden, I hear like a big boom, like something thudded into the wall right outside my bathroom. And then I hear this cat, like a cat is dying outside.
Oh, like yowling.
Yowling and screeching and in a fight of some sort. Like there's some sort of fight going on right outside my window of my bathroom. And I'm thinking, holy cow.
And there's nothing worse than a cat fight.
Right.
It
sounded like it was so close, like they were almost in my bath. I literally looked under the toilet going, is there a cat in here? I really did. But how did a cat get in my bathroom, and what is he fighting with? I'm expecting to see a possum roll out of there or a raccoon, and I'm thinking, where are they? They're right outside. It went on for about a minute, this fight. And I wasn't in a position to go outside at that point, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not dressed. I'm trying to brush my teeth. I'm trying to get off the toilet.
Mike's choking on his muffaletta king cake.
I did notice, though, about 3 days ago.
Because I can't get this visual out of my head now. No more king cake for me.
Yeah. I had a black cat sitting on my front stoop about 3 days ago. And I'm not I don't feed the feral cats. There's no food there for them.
All right.
But it was just sitting on my front stoop. And that had to be the...
It had to be the culprit.
So
right.
You never did go investigate?
Well, when I went out, I finally got dressed. They're gone. Everybody's gone. I don't see any blood. I mean, it's too dark. I don't see any blood, but I'm expecting to see blood when I get home today.
Oh, just what you'll see if there was a cat fight is just chunks of fur everywhere.
Okay.
That's
who
wins?
Who wins a fight between a cat and, let's go, possum first?
Cat would probably, a possum would either play dead or run away.
Okay.
From a cat.
Who wins in a fight with a cat and a raccoon?
I'm thinking a raccoon.
Raccoon.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Raccoons can be pretty vicious.
Okay, now I have seen a bobcat or two in my area. If it's a bobcat, it wins anything,
yeah,
right?
I think it wins just about anything.
Because I did notice my garbage can is now down on the ground.
Really?
And it's open.
Oh, so it was a couple of cats fighting over garbage is what it was.
But I don't think there's anything in it. I don't think there's anything in it. They just picked it up Monday, so I'm putting anything in it.
Right.
Huh. Well, but it's got a smell to it, and they were probably investigating.
Okay. Well, but that's way away from my bathroom. Why am I hearing this loud wall-banging noise right outside my bathroom?
You've got cameras?
I don't think I have a camera on that bathroom window, though.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, it does. It does show that window.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, check your cameras. You might have an epic cat fight on your phone.
Wow.
I expect a post on this cat fight now.
Yeah, definitely have to check that.
And we are talking about feline cats. We're not talking about the good kind of cat fight.
Okay. When we hey, Ruben.
Not the fun kind of cat fight.
Ruben's feeling frisky this morning.
When we come back, Ruben, you're going to have to help an old person again.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh, boy. 101.7 FM. What does he have to help me with? 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I don't even know what you're going to ask.
This is just happening to me. It's a once a week thing now. And it's becoming frightening.
Does it have something to do with you being on the toilet again?
No.
Okay.
It's close, but not that. Just got a text, 8:29 this morning, from somebody named Christopher Frenetti from SPV Pasadena. It says, USPS Ground.
Okay.
Reschedule your delivery. We attempted to deliver your USPS package, but were unable to successfully hand it over. A personal signature is necessary. Please follow the instructions provided below to set up a new delivery time. You can reschedule at USPS.com at service, blah, blah, blah. Track and confirm. It's a long thing. Reply yes.
Is there a link to click to...
Oh, yeah, there's
okay,
a link,
there
there's a link
go.
To click
there
to reschedule my delivery.
Right.
It's you, and I'm expecting a package.
Of course, everybody's expecting a package.
Yes, but it's not supposed to come till next week.
Yep.
But yeah. They've already delivered it. They've tried to deliver it. I wasn't home.
This makes me mad.
I'm tired of it.
It's really horrible.
How do you stop it?
It's worse and worse and worse over the years.
What will happen, Ruben, if I click on this? And what's going to happen?
It's going to ask you for a lot of your personal information, and then you're either going to start getting calls or stuff in the mail that's all just spam and nonsense.
And that's another thing.
Go ahead.
I want the post office needs to have an opt-out for commercial flyer. I don't need the grocery ads. Right. No.
I
don't
I
need commercial stuff in my mail anymore.
Now, they'll never do that because it's money. It's money for them.
Sure, it is.
It's money for the people that hopefully get people in.
I think many of the grocery stores have already stopped because I think they realize it just gets trashed. I think they realize it just gets thrown away.
Do they, though?
But I get so many other commercial things that, you know, they're
pretty unreal.
Expensive stuff. I mean, it's on that thick cardstock.
Right.
And all. Why are you wasting your money?
Okay, the other day, when you slipped, was it yesterday, Ruben? I got an email.
Mm-hmm.
Time to change your password. We have to change our passwords in our company
every few months,
frequently because we've been hit. Okay?
Sure, absolutely.
So we have to change our passwords. I got one a few months ago, and it was a scam email.
Wow! But it looked like a real company email,
right? Microsoft Office 365. Yeah. Blah 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 blah. Oh crap! I got to change my password. Let me go ahead and knock that out. Oh, this is a test email from our own company. You've now been enrolled in this course
to recognize
phishing and
scam. And there's 45 minutes out of your
day. I just got another one. I just got one this week. And I told Ruben, I said, look, because I think I even mentioned my password's up already. But then I got to looking, and the link was Microsoft Office 366.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Not 365.
Oh, yeah, you got to look close at that stuff.
Oh.
But this is from my, I said, stop wasting my time.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, I digress.
Checking the old guy out.
The worst part of that, though, was...
Oh, yeah.
I clicked on that email, and Ruben and I were sitting in here, and I had shoved my mic away after we finished this segment. I might have said a dirty word.
Oh, Ruben had to hit the button.
Because... I told Ruben, I said, oh, by the way, this email, you know,
is Bullschnoggle.
My light was still on.
Mike flew off the handle a little bit and then almost immediately looked over and said, oh, my mic was on. His eyes got funny. So big.
I said, okay, treat Imagine every mic that. Like it's live.
Hitting the button for Mike. That's a novel.
I know. That's a first. You got a button for the first time.
It's not even here. Mardi Gras, the Architects, the queen of Crew of Centaur, joined us to hear what she's got to say right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Apply.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Mudd with the Crew of Centaur, you need to be real close to that mic, okay. Is in studio with us. It's Mardi Gras and the Architects. Tell us your position with the Crew of Centaur.
I am the Queen of Centaur this year.
Oh, my God.
Queen 34.
I'm sorry, the Queen. You didn't have all your regalia on. A lot of times they come in with all the regalia.
We got a sign for you. It said back there, it says the Queen reigns here.
There you go.
That's right. Chica said, the queen. I forgot. And I said, no, Aaron's the queen. Oh, God, it's Aaron's world. We're all just living in it.
The ball is coming up the 24th.
Right.
It's at the convention center. This is a big hoedown.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Doors open at 5. Tableau is at 7.
Mm-hmm.
We have open bar. We've got music. We've got some huge surprises for y'all this year.
Can you give us a sneak?
Yeah, okay.
Tell us what.
They did not tell me what the surprise was, and I'm the queen. I've been asking.
They didn't want you to spill the beans.
No, they wouldn't.
So it could be the queen goes naked this year, and you don't even know.
You don't want to see that.
Now, there's a lot of people that think that if I'm not associated with the crew and I'm not on your staff or whatever, that I can't go to that.
Anybody is welcome to go. It's open to the public. You do not have to be a member of the crew. Matter of fact, we would love for you to come and see what we're all about. It is a party like nothing you've ever seen.
And you want to get your tickets ahead of time.
Ahead of time. Go to crewofcentaur.org and click on the link to buy tickets and come. And you can bring your kids. I mean, it is like... I can't even tell you. There's no way to describe how fantastic the ball is. It's a lot of fun.
Who's the Grand Marshal this year?
Robert Parrish.
Oh, that's right.
He's a centenary grad, just like me.
He is. I would venture to say if I were to rank the top parties in our area where you dress up, you're in a tux, the ladies are in the gowns. I would venture to say that the Crew of Centaur's ball is top three, if not number one.
Oh, I would agree. And I know I'm probably biased, but yeah, it's all the crews, they have great balls. We just, We just bring the house down.
Y'all throw a magnificent party. It's been a while since I've been, but it really is a huge deal. And you can come by yourself. You can come with a group. It doesn't
bring
matter.
Bring a girlfriend. Get a group of friends together. Get online and order your tickets and just come and have a good time.
Because there's a lot of people that say, I don't have a significant other right now.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of people at the ball like that.
Exactly.
And everybody's willing to get on the dance floor with anybody and have fun.
Just grab somebody and go. Yes.
Okay, well,
children
I have to tell
welcome
you.
Too, right?
Children are welcome.
Wow.
Yes.
I have to tell you, back in October I was at the post office right there on Pines Road. And let me show you a picture. Look who walked in.
Robert Parrish.
Oh, wow.
I'll be darned.
Like a normal human being.
I'm excited to meet him. I've never met him.
He's a super nice guy.
That's what I've
heard. Super, super nice guy.
I am really looking forward to
Boston
that.
Boston Celtics
and
legend.
And somebody, a local. You know?
Yes.
I love that.
Now, the tickets again. How do I get a hold of these tickets for the ball?
Okay, go to crewofcentaur.org and click on events, and you'll see.
Get the
grand
but you
ball.
If you want to buy them at the door, if say you make a last minute decision, you know I really want to go. You can do that, but it costs more, right?
Right. So you really want to get them ahead of time.
Absolutely. How many people show up for this?
Last year, I think we had 1,900. We have all the bays at the convention center. The whole thing is open.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
And we sell out, so you don't want to wait. Get online and get those tickets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And your gown, you're going to be wearing the queen regalia and all that good stuff.
So the thing about ball is we meet and greet with you, the royalty does, from 5 to 6. Then we go backstage and you don't see us until tableau starts.
Ooh.
And that's the big production. That's all the hoopla and the pyrotechnic stuff. And
Oh, man.
And that's when we change into our costumes.
And y'all have some big sponsors this year that I hear are really, the surprises are supposed to be off the chain.
I know. And they won't tell us. I want it so bad to know. And they keep, no.
Oh, my
gosh. So, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to the surprise. So,
How long have you been involved with the crew?
This is my 9th year.
Wow.
I was a Duchess in 2020. And then I was a royal repeat because we had COVID. So we did not have a new royal court in 21. So,
Tell us how you get to be queen. What do you have to do? Does it cost you money? Do you have to kiss a lot of booties?
It's just, you just throw your name in the hat and you get elected.
And so they voted on you.
And so they vote. There's a vote. Yeah.
That's cool. That is really cool.
You know, and the best part about being queen for me is I love all the visitations. Once the ball happens, go into the nursing homes, the veterans homes, the schools. I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
How do you put it in your schedule? I mean, you stay busy, I guess.
You do. And tonight is we're kicking off balls. Tonight is one of the first balls with one of the crews. So,
You go to all the balls?
All the balls every Friday and Saturday from now until parade on February 7th.
Wow.
So you go to all of them, not just the crew of Centaur.
Right.
You go to Gemini and all everything
else. Go and
else.
Support. I go support my queen sisters and the other crews. Yeah.
Okay. Now, girl question here. Okay. Do you wear the same queen gown regalia, or do you have a different gown for each of these balls?
Oh, no, different gown.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't want to be seen in the same gown.
I was going to say.
Oh, my gosh.
Too many pictures, different gown. Same thing at coronation back in the early fall.
So what's your GoFundMe account? I would like to help.
No kidding.
Please.
I didn't know teachers were wealthy like that.
Oh, no, this teacher's not. I'm not redoing my bathrooms this year, so I could be queen.
So you can buy all the gowns. It is,
but it's worth it.
People don't realize it's a big expense to be one of the royals.
It really is.
So most people obviously will attend the parade.
Right.
February 7th.
Right.
It's underway at 3 o'clock. How many floats? Tell us a little bit about the parade.
I think we have 37 rolling this year.
Wow.
And all the floats are made by our crew members. We don't bring people in. We start from the ground up, and we construct them, come up with the ideas, and...
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Carlene Mudd, we go back a way long time.
Yeah, our boys.
Soccer moms together.
Yes.
She knows a little bit about me that she's never going to repeat, so we're going to keep that as a secret, too.
Talk about surprises.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you guys,
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I've got a theory that I, if somebody's listening, that they could confirm or deny, I would be interested. All my life growing up, I never really wore hats.
Okay.
The past few years, I have found this Boston Scally hat that I absolutely love.
Right.
So I do wear those a lot now. But as far as like ball caps or stuff, I just never really did. I loved hats. I have fedoras. I have bowlers. I have some really cool hats. A really cool pork pie.
What's a pork pie?
Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Heisenberg hat.
Okay.
But I always heard you wear hats every day. It makes you go bald.
Really?
As far as men, well, that was where I was going. As far as men, I don't know. It restricted. I don't know. It may be an old wives' tale. Is there any truth to that whatsoever? Wearing hats for a long time, does it make you, or does it lend itself to
lessened hair growth?
Right.
Yeah.
Not make you go bald per se, but
yeah.
Does it restrict it?
You know, our sales team came to me after Monday. I shaved my head for charity for Operation Santa Claus. We brought in more than $25,000. And I wasn't as more concerned about the hair being gone. Like most women would go, I could never lose my hair. Never to me. I was more concerned about the head gets cold. And so I told them down there, I said, I need hats. My head's getting cold as the weather turns. And so they thought this would be a cool promotion. Hats off to our local businesses and hats off to our community.
Yeah.
If you want me to sport your business hat for 1 week and do a commercial for you every day and you'll take over our website, we need you to get in touch with me or our sales department and we can get you part of this. We're going to sell them out. There's not going to be that many because my hair will be growing back soon. But if you want to be a part of it, we're looking for businesses that I support. That I appreciate. It can't be a crazy business that I'm not going to be supportive of, but I'll wear your hat
now
for a whole week.
Are you going to shave for a little while, or are you going to let it start growing back, or are you going to keep it clean for a little while?
We're keeping it clean for a little while just to because I'm going to go in for scalp massages and all that and all the good stuff that you can get that are awesome. But I'm looking for, I've already gotten a few. We're starting Monday with it. My buddy AirPro, Pat Cox at AirPro. We have a long-term relationship and I'm looking forward to that. We've sold several others and I'm excited to a little attention to these businesses that I love and keeping my head warm. One of them, Pat's, is a knit cap. Several of them are ball caps. It doesn't matter. I'll wear whatever. Just keep my old bald head warm because cold weather's coming.
Wait, Ruben, where are they from?
We are from,
France.
France. Yeah, exactly. So it's a real cool promotion, but you're actually going to get to take over the Kiel website.
All right.
It's going to be kind of cool. So I'm excited about
688-1130.
Yep, absolutely.
If you're interested.
Want to get involved or you can email me, message me, doesn't matter. I'm looking forward to it.
Your Opossum, Where Art Thou hat. Ruben, any gigs coming up?
We've got one scheduled for February coming up next month.
All right.
So, very cool.
Nothing more tells you your loved one, you love her more on Valentine's Day than to go hear Opossum, Where Art Thou.
That's exactly a great idea.
Exactly right. Pick up a Mr. Trashy t-shirt and a hat while you're at it.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.